Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. We've got you until 6:30. Thanks for making the show part of your day. We are sponsored by our friends Kondori and Murad. That's a law firm who will get your last will and testament squared away for you. You got to get that done. Set up a revocable trust as well for you and your family. It's the type of paperwork, the things you got to deal with. You don't want to, you put them off. They'll make it easy. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. I was texting with Kondori and Murad this morning because I asked them, what's the deal? What are the plans for Thursday, boys? We're coming up. We're going to the game. Me, you, Darius, and our guys. We're going to go over to Lincoln Financial Field. And they laid out the plan as to, you know, where we're going, how we're going to get there, whatever. I said, no. I mean, how are we going to avoid being assaulted and harassed?
Yeah, I mean that. What's the plan there?
They haven't done a lot of legwork on that, it doesn't seem like. But I kind of feel good about being with lawyers, I got to say. Because when you punch me and I can do my lawsuit, well, I'm with a lawyer.
He's right there.
They know all kinds of stuff, man.
Right there, the lawyer guy right there.
What do I say? What don't I say? How quickly do I have to hand them a piece of paper saying I'm suing them? Like, how is this going to work?
Can I just declare that I'm suing?
Exactly.
Is that enough?
It is time on G&D for your fastest 16 minutes. Let's spin you around the NFL in Week 10. We will start you off with the Giants and the Carolina Panthers. This was the Germany game held early on Sunday morning, because morning football is the best. I was up watching, like the rest of you were. Bryce Young looks a lot better. I got to give him credit for that. A'shaun Robinson made the play of the game for Carolina, a huge fumble in overtime that set the Panthers up for a second win in as many weeks.
He hands this one off, and it's a fumble. Ball is loose on the opening possession of overtime. And it is recovered by Josie Jewell.
Oh, you feel so bad. He's played such a great game.
Rich Eisen, Kurt Warner on the call, NFL Network. Chuba Hubbard ran for a 150 and a touchdown. They were talking about was Tyrone Tracy, ran for 100 yards and a score. Did have that fumble and also had a ball bounce up off of his chest that went for an interception, one of two Daniel Jones picks. Bryce Young, no interceptions, a touchdown, 126 on 15 of 25 passing. Two starts in two victories for Carolina the last 2 weeks.
That's the story to me. Not that, you know, the two teams that are terrible that in a game that should not have been played in that location at that time, but the fact that Bryce Young doesn't look completely overwhelmed and overmatched. He doesn't look good. I'm not telling you, I've now seen the things that I saw at Alabama, and I'm so excited about him. But before it, he was unrosterable. Now, of course, you're not going to take him off the roster, but you could not play him in an NFL game. It was that much of a disaster. It doesn't look that way now, so good for him. Good for him for sticking with it.
We've talked too much about the Bears already today, but Patriots 19, Bears 3. Drake May outplaying Caleb Williams. Touchdown in a 184 through the air for May. Ramondre Stevenson ran for 74 yards for New England. Leading receiver Austin Hooper, 3 for 64 out of the tight end position. Caleb Williams sacked 9 times by New England in a 16-point win. Patriots are 3-7. Bears are 4-5. After the game, Caleb Williams being asked if he still thinks his head coach is the guy for the job.
Am I confident in my head coach? Yes, I'm confident in my head coach. You know, they brought me here for a reason. They brought all of us here for a reason. As players, when we're in the locker room, we know how good we are. We know how good we can be. And right now, we're not executing. We're not hitting on cylinders. And we have all the confidence in each other, to be honest with you. I've been in some locker rooms, and I'm a young guy, I know, but I've also been in some locker rooms that, you know, you're losing, and it's pretty rough in the locker room. And obviously, after a loss, it's pretty rough.
Gross. What I mean, listen, you get upset by New England; they're professionals too, but not like that, not that way. Where your offense manages 3 points, you did what you're supposed to do. You held New England under 20. That needs to be a double-digit win. That needs to be a 27-19 kind of win at minimum. They managed 3 measly points. Oh, that's so pathetic and gross.
Bills 30, Colts 20 in Indianapolis. Josh Allen threw for 280, was intercepted twice, did not have Amari Cooper or Keon Coleman. His leading receiver was Mack Hollins, 4 for 86. Khalil Shakir, 6 catches, 58 yards. James Cook ran 19 times for 80 yards and a touchdown. Allen also plunged in for a score. He is now number 2 all-time to Thurman Thomas on the rushing touchdowns list for the Buffalo Bills, who got a defensive score in this game. Joe Flacco was picked 3 times. Taron Johnson's interception returned 23 yards for a tutty on CBS.
Down and 10. Flacco to the air, and he's picked off. Taron Johnson. Johnson on the return. Johnson at the 10. Johnson at the 5. Takes it in. A pick 6.
Basically a 2020 game after multiple possessions ended in interception early for Flacco, including that pick 6. The Colts were just in a toilet, and they tried to dig their way out and played pretty even. But credit to Buffalo, man. They are still without really the guy that they think is going to be a huge difference maker for them in the receiving game in terms of Amari Cooper. And Coleman is kind of nursing his way back, and they're still chugging right along at 8-2.
I think you got to swallow your pride a bit. Doesn't mean you made the wrong decision at the time. Just going to look terrible. If you're Shane Steichen, I think you got to go back to Anthony Richardson, though, after the way Flacco's played the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone's going to throw 3 picks, I'm going to let my young guy, who can also run for touchdowns and break people's ankles, throw for 3 picks.
That's how I would do it, too. I mean, this by the way, makes the Flacco of last year that much more miraculous. This is the Flacco I know. It's this guy. It's Sam the Eagle, just incapable of good forward passes.
Vikings beat the Jags in Jacksonville 12-7. Minnesota survived a Sam Darnold stinker. He threw 3 interceptions a couple of times when they were knocking on the door of points. They got 88 rushing yards from Aaron Jones in this game. TJ Hockenson back big for the Vikings, 8 catches for 72 yards. For the Jags, Mac Jones started, was picked off twice, threw for just 111 yards on 14 of 22 passing with Trevor Lawrence out. Doug Peterson was asked about a Mac Jones pick, and he was not feeling like explaining what went on.
Yeah, I'm not going to go through the details of the play because you guys wouldn't figure it out, but we'll look at the tape tomorrow and we'll make those corrections.
Seat's getting warmer.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. You get to do that when you're 8-2. And you probably shouldn't do that anyway because it's a jerk way of speaking to people.
Just condescending.
Yeah, it's hard to hear from your high horse up there. What's that, 2-8? It's hard to hear you all the way down there in last place. I wouldn't be looking down on people right now when you're at the bottom of the toilet bowl, sir.
Stunner in Kansas City. The Chiefs survive and beat the Denver Broncos 16-14. Denver outplayed them. Denver should have won the football game. But it was the Chiefs in the end with a blocked field goal who get a win. Bo Nix threw 2 touchdowns, turnover free ball, 22 of 30. He was outstanding. He's had a pretty strong rookie year, by the way, considering how deep into the draft he went. He was the 6th quarterback, I think it was, off the board. 5th quarterback? Let's see. 3 in the top 3. Michael Penix, Bo Nix, right?
McCarthy, and then Nix.
6th quarterback.
Yeah.
In the top 12, that's right. He was taken 12th overall. Wild. He's been very, very good. But it was Kansas City again. They're inevitable. Patrick Mahomes, 266 and a touchdown. Kareem Hunt, their leading receiver with 65 yards. Travis Kelce, 8 for 64. Also caught a touchdown in this game. Here was the field goal block. It was a chippy, by the way. 35-yarder. Easy money on CBS until it wasn't.
Kick to win it.
Take a bow, Kevin Harlan.
Museum, please, for Kevin Harlan. Right away. Just send it.
Al Michaels, you see how it's done?
And
that's how it's done.
Not going to go through. All right. So next week, we'll be back. Perfect. Sorry about it. Sorry about the excitement
Someone
of the play.
Someone got their hand on that one.
So I guess it won't be going in. Anyway.
I'm sure I'm the problem, though. People get so upset when I get upset about the Al Michaels calls. That's what it should sound like. Kevin Harlan out here doing work.
Sorry it's exciting. Sorry to bother you. I know it's been a long career and it's been a great one, but it's a big moment. It's a big moment. Rise.
We called our shot here. Dead cat bounce for the Saints.
Yep.
They fired Dennis Allen. They hire their special teams coach. He tells everyone he clogged the toilet in the morning. They beat the Falcons in the division 20-17. You got to give the assist on this loss to Younghoe Koo. He missed 3 field goals. Atlanta moved the ball throughout the game. They had 470 yards. 6.5 yards per play. But you miss three field goals, going to lose a football game a lot of the time. Drake London, 8 for 97. Bijan Robinson ran for 116. Kirk Cousins threw for 306. For the Saints, Derek Carr, 2 touchdowns, no picks. And Alvin Kamara, the leading rusher, with 55. Breakout game for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who went for 2 tutties on 3 catches and 109 yards. Robinson ripped off this long touchdown, but it wasn't enough.
Go climb the ladder.
5-inch advantage there on Taylor. A big play to keep this drive going. Now it's Bijan Robinson. Hits the hole. Stays on his feet. Speeds down the sideline to the end zone. Touchdown, Atlanta.
Silly Joe Davis on the call with Greg Olson.
And that dude is good, both Joe Davis and Bijan Robinson. Note on Marquez Valdes-Scantling, a very DeSean Jackson-like 3 for 109 and 2 touchdowns. It's been a disastrous season for Chris Olave, who's eligible to come back in week 15. He, you know, Tua's gotten all the headlines this year with the multiple concussions, you know, through the course of his career. Olave's dealing with something very, very similar. And, you know, your first concern, obviously, is his health and him, whether he comes back or not this year. But it's just another log on the pile of a disastrous Saints season that a guy that was so unbelievably promising has just been derailed that way.
49ers, desperate for a win, got one. At the horn by a field goal, Jake Moody from 44 yards out. He had also missed 3 kicks. It was not a great day for field goal kickers around the NFL. In fact, he had such a bad game that Deebo Samuel went over to him on the sideline and was jawing and yelling at him, so the long snapper got in the way, and then Deebo swatted at the long snapper. I mean, he was swinging on his special teams unit after their 3 misses. Brock Purdy played a heck of a game. Threw for 350 and a couple of scores. Christian McCaffrey was back. Ran for 39 yards, went for 68 on 6 catches as a receiver, 7 for 93 to lead the way through the air. Juwan Jennings, 7 grabs for just shy of 100. But here's your storyline. Ricky Pearsall, 46-yard touchdown, 10 weeks after he was shot, remember, in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Had the Brian Robinson incident right before the start of the season. He is coming on strong for the 49ers at 73 yards in the game.
Together. Here's Purdy looking to rip it. Oh, good catch and throw. It's Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall trying to beat his man in the end zone. And he is in. Touchdown, San Francisco.
That's our guy Kevin Burkhardt on the call. Got to give Tampa credit, man. Despite Evans and Godwin being out, Danny, they are in every game. They took the Niners to the mattress.
What I was literally about to say, they have lost 5 of 6. And you're going, oh, they're melting down, they're falling apart.
Have they lost 4 in a row, too?
And it's 4 in a row. The only double-digit loss there was to the Ravens in Baltimore. No, actually, that one was at home. But the Ravens, you know, throttled them, but then, you know, they came back a little bit. They've lost a 1-score game to Atlanta, a 1-score game to Kansas City, and a field goal at the horn to San Francisco. So they are, and then they're getting their bye week now. There's still an opportunity for them. There's still a road where they could come back in this division, even without Chris Godwin. So it's a tough road, but Giants, Panthers, Raiders out of the bye. After you get some rest, get some guys healthy in theory, maybe Mike Evans comes back. But that team is tough and playing well, other than the fact that they can't stop anybody and they're so beat up.
Nobody's talking about the Chargers in L.A., but they are 6-3. Jim Harbaugh is going to do the thing again where he shows up and the team makes the playoffs right away, it looks like.
Pretty much.
Justin Herbert is not asked to do a whole lot. He barely ever throws the ball. But he's been efficient. He's not turning it over. I saw somewhere he's in the top 5 all-time in interception percentage. He just doesn't throw picks. Threw for 164 and a score. They got 55 yards rushing from Gus Edwards, 50 yards rushing from J.K. Dobbins, the 2 former Ravens with a Ravens executive who's come over to be the GM in Horowitz. They've got Jim Harbaugh, obviously, John Harbaugh's brother. So it's a whole Baltimore thing they got working there. But it was about the defense, too. And Will Levis, decent line, buck 75, 2 touchdowns as a passer, but just 17 points for the Titans, and their final touchdown came in the final minute of the 4th quarter in a blowout. So really, they scored 10 in the competitive portion of the game. Justin Herbert likes his new head coach.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate it. You know, he's the best, and to have a guy like that leading the team, you know, it shows out there. You turn on the tape, and everyone wants to play for him, wants to fight for him, and the guys are playing energetic. They're excited to be out there and they're having fun. I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, he's done such a great job of preparing us and letting us go play free and fast out there. So to have a guy like that leading the charge, it's been awesome.
Leading the charge, you get it? They are 6-3, talking about the Chargers. All they're doing is beating bad teams. That's it. That is the beginning, middle, and end of their season. You do that, you're in the playoffs. Now, they've got Cincinnati, Baltimore coming up, at Atlanta, Kansas City. So they may not be where they are throughout, but their wins are Raiders, Panthers, early Broncos before they started turning the corner, Saints when they were a disaster, Browns, and then Titans. Who impresses you in that group? But that you harvest your nuts, Eddie Jordan style, you end up in the postseason. They're just taking care of business, playing this ground and pound Rex Ryan style.
How about the Cardinals dominating the Jets? The Jets are so bad, Danny.
Yep.
They're so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers, 151 yards passing.
Chris.
He has the longest streak without having a 300-yard game of any quarterback in the NFL at this point. They stink.
Which is the wildest thing ever, by
the way. It's hilarious to watch. They got outgained 406 to 207 in this game. Absolutely destroyed. This was Rodgers after the Jets fell to 3-7. Arizona's 6-4.
We just got to focus on what's in front of us and beat the Colts and then get to the bye and sort some things out. And we got a couple West Coast opponents coming out for 1 o'clock games. And we got 1, 2, 3 division games. So a lot still in front of us.
That rubs people the wrong way, and that kind of plays a little thin when you're that bad. Like, that relax thing is awesome when you're like 2-4 and then you have a chance to turn around and you do and all the signs are there. The signs are not there. They got their one dead cat bounce in that game against Houston on Thursday Night Football. Other than that, it has been a tire fire. They are gross, kind of to your point. Offensively, I can't believe it's this bad. They have pieces that I covet. There are players there that everyone in the league would want. Breece Hall, Davante Adams, maybe not the same dude as he was a couple years ago, but that guy can still play. Garrett Wilson is a ballerina catching footballs, an acrobat all over the place. They have pieces that everybody would like to have, and their offense stinks on ice. Stinks.
Speaking of stinking, the Cowboys got beat 34-6.
Hey, come on. You know, it's just mean kicking a team when they're down like that, Grant.
Philadelphia. All over Dallas. This was their tune-up, though, for Washington, unfortunately.
Yeah, they got loose.
They won by 28 points. Jalen Hurts ran for 2 touchdowns.
It's hard to win in the NFL, and they're winning. He deserves credit. He still has it, and Hurts is going to plunge across for another Eagles touchdown.
That is why Philly's first in the division. Washington is chasing the Eagles in the East. And we got a first-place matchup set for Thursday Night Football. We'll be there. More details on our trip next on Grant and Danny. Plus, if Washington can get one of its reinforcements back, Marshawn Lattimore, Brian Robinson, Andrew Wiley, let's rank them in order as to who would be the most the least likely to help them get a win in a return. You're listening to G&D.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Catch it. Touchdown, Eckler. The Commanders cash in.
With Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. This is The Fan. Commanders-Eagles on Thursday. We got ourselves a massive NFC East football game. Who saw this one coming at the beginning of the season? 7-2 Philadelphia, 7-3 Washington. Bad news is Commanders do go in second in the division, first time since week 2. Good news is it's a first-place game in Philadelphia in primetime. Not going to be easy, by the way.
No.
But if Washington can win this game, not only do you have the head-to-head tiebreaker with Philadelphia momentarily, not only do you have a half-game division at that point lead, but the tiebreakers all lean in their favor. Do you realize right now both teams are 2-0 in the East? That's like the first tiebreaking metric after head-to-head if they were to split, let's say, this season. Washington's also better in the conference. Because they've lost to the Ravens and the Steelers, those are the good losses, if there's such a thing. You know what I mean? Those are the games like...
You can afford to do that.
If you have to pick losses, you'd go, let's lose to Baltimore, let's lose to Pittsburgh. The Commanders are 5-1 in the NFC. Philadelphia's 4-2. So they are tiebreaker-friendly if they could find a way to split these two games with the Eagles.
It is... Again, you've set yourself up really well. The start to the season, the Hail Mary against Chicago wasn't just, oh, you beat Chicago, that's nice. Again, that's a NFC victory snatched from the jaws of a loss, which would change that tiebreaker thing. It's that much more important, right? You obviously want to win as many games as possible, but in a league that doesn't have 162 games to separate you. It doesn't have 82 games to separate you. It's only a matter of a bounce here or there, and each game is so magnified in importance. The fact that their NFC record is so good, talking about Washington's, and the divisional record, not to mention, 2-0 already. Thank you very much, Giants. They're in a pretty good position here.
There's a bunch of injuries that the Commanders are dealing with. Some of them are more serious than others. Some of them are just painful things guys are playing through. But of the three key players who have missed time recently, so I'm going to put on that list corner Marshawn Lattimore, running back Brian Robinson, and right tackle Andrew Wiley. Who would be the most important of the three to have available and ready to go play and play well against the Eagles?
Lattimore is critically important. That is a pretty easy and obvious answer. But let me make the case for Andrew Wiley. I think you got away with it on Sunday. I think you got away with having backups, not having Cornelius Lucas, having Trent Scott in there. I think you got away for a short amount of time. If a team has time to game plan, a time to make some adjustments, you're going to see a flood and the best possible pressure coming on that side. To me, their run game suffered a little bit because not having Wiley. I think in terms of some of the screens haven't really clicked here of late as guys have been banged up on the offensive line. I think Wiley is underrated at this point, which again is so night and day from where we started last year. He and Quan Martin, both left over from the Rivera era, have actually turned into pretty integral players for this offense and defense respectively. But I think Wiley is critically important to protecting Jaden Daniels and kind of keeping this going of him not being in harm's way an awful lot, which you haven't had those QB sack return fumbles, those passes knocked down or tipped up in the air for interceptions. You saw that a couple times against Pittsburgh. You are due for some bad luck there, and I think Wiley can help prevent that.
The one thing about Wiley missing this game potentially would be that the Eagles' pass rush has not been very good. We talked to Jay Gruden.
It's been a disappointment, honestly, yeah.
Gruden was on the show yesterday, and he basically said Josh Sweat is just okay, which he's had some huge games against Washington in the past, but this is a guy who, other than one year when he had the monster 2022, he's never had more than 7.5 sacks. He does have 5 already this year. Had a 2-sack game a couple weeks ago against Jacksonville. But he's not T.J. Watt, who you just had to deal with. I worry some, though, about would they go into that game feeling like Trent Scott could just deal with him and they don't chip as much. They don't keep a tight end in as much. Like, when you're dealing with T.J. Watt, you know what you have to do. I have to help this guy or else T.J. Watt will wreck the game. Is it possible that they say with Josh Sweat, well, let's just let him rush and we won't have as big a problem? I mean, if it's him against Coleman or him against Wiley, I could see him making a play or two. I just don't think he could take over the game. And the other guy is Bryce Huff. I can't believe how ineffective he's been. And I haven't watched every one of their games. I'll be frank in saying I'm just looking at the numbers and kind of hunting box scores. I wanted Washington to sign Bryce Huff big time. I was a huge proponent because of all of the metrics on him as a pass rusher with the Jets last year. Not just the 10 sacks, but how often he won one-on-one, 20-plus hits on the quarterback. He has had a brutal first season in Philly. 9 games. He's now not even starting every one of their games. 2.5 sacks and just 4 hits on the quarterback.
Crazy.
He's done basically nothing.
Remember, they're a year removed from setting a modern NFL record for sacks. Like, they were the greatest pass rush team in league history just 2 seasons ago.
The Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah, and then they fell off.
3 coordinators ago.
I know, isn't that nuts? And they fell off a little bit to a degree last year, back to the pack with everyone else. And now this year they've been, I think, relatively anemic in that regard. I mean, a lot of guys have 1.5 or 2 here and there. It's a product of blitzing and mixing and matching and some health-related things. But there's not a consistent great pass rush there. I'm with you.
So my answer is Marshawn Lattimore. We talked about Lattimore the day he got acquired, if you remember, needing to be ready for the Philly game. That was really the hope. I don't know how much you take out of the Dallas performance because they basically called off the dogs pretty early on. That game was 28-6 in the third quarter. But A.J. Brown went 5-for-109. Devontae Smith had just 2-for-14. But there have been games recently where they've gotten both of those guys involved pretty extensively. We saw St. Juste have his struggles again against Pittsburgh in man coverage. He's not alone, by the way, that they got beat. Otherwise, other corners were getting beat by lesser receivers than just George Pickens. This is a bad matchup on paper. A bad, 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 bad matchup for Washington if they don't have Marshawn Lattimore. Because they can roll 3-plus receivers at you in 11 personnel. They can split out tight ends. They've got size. They've got a physical wideout that you don't have anyone who can cover him in A.J. Brown. They've got the shifty, smaller guy that gives them fits in Devontae Smith. It's just not a good look personnel-wise if Lattimore doesn't go. So I'm going to say he's my most important guy.
It makes a lot of sense. And that, to me, is probably the obvious answer, right? Where now they haven't had him, and you don't know what it looks like with him. We're just hoping and anticipating. It's the only reason I'm giving the nod to Wiley here. But on paper, yeah, you can't cover. A.J. Brown has had feasts against Washington in recent years, and he loves the idea of them. Yep, go ahead, travel with me, Benjamin St. Juice. You can watch my tuchus as I cross the goal line for the millionth time while I burn you 6 ways from Sunday. So on paper, that makes the most sense, and it's obvious. Philadelphia's offense is humming right now. They've got answers. Any counter you have, they've got a counter to your counter, whether it's Jalen Hurts running, Saquon Barkley out of the backfield. Goddard, you know, when he's healthy, is obviously still a factor. And then you know, we know the bookend receivers. So Lattimore makes a lot of sense. It in theory, is going to expand things on defense, just make it easy to roll coverages, to play different ways, to be more aggressive in the box to stop the run, presumably. Him being there and playing is going to unlock a lot of things, in theory. We just haven't seen it yet.
The only guy we haven't mentioned then, if you're going Wiley and I'm going Lattimore, is Brian Robinson. B-Rob, who did practice today, we don't have a lot of access and information, but we were told he was going to be back on the practice field. That's a good sign. I actually thought he was going to play as of Sunday, when after the game, Dan Quinn on Andrew Wiley was extremely noncommittal, didn't have a lot to add or say. Same, frankly, on Marshawn Lattimore. But on Brian Robinson, he said at one point, we think or hope he turned a corner. That's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, that's a telling. That's pretty good. So part of him not playing against the Steelers may have been to make sure he's ready for this Eagles game. And right now I would think he would play, although I would have thought that this past week too.
Yeah, same here.
Because of who they have, though, at the position, I'm less desperate to get him back. I know that you miss him. I think they missed him against Baltimore. They almost won the game. They missed him against Pittsburgh. They almost won the game. Maybe you win that Steelers game if you have him. Maybe you have a better chance against the Ravens if you have him. Having your good players is helpful, sure. But Austin Ekeler had 2 touchdowns in this game. Jeremy McNichols had a touchdown. We've seen 2 weeks ago Chris Rodriguez play very well. I just don't feel like they're ever weak at that position. They could do things better, and having B-Rob would help them. But I never really feel like when they take the field with this running back group that they don't have enough personnel there to win a game.
Yeah, the advantage to having Brian Robinson is it lets Ekeler go back to the Ekeler role, right? Instead of Ekeler on first down, where you know somebody's got to thump. It's not, you know, I love early passings to running backs early down, pitches wide or arrow routes or choice routes or keeping them in pass pro. But sometimes you're going to run the football on early downs when everybody's stacked up because you either got to do it or to set something up or, you know, it's just part of the game, right? So when Ekeler has to do that, you're almost negating third down back Austin Ekeler, right? So that's, I want him to be able to return to that role. So maybe you have early down McNichols or early down Chris Rodriguez or something like that to kind of mix and match, and you got to go against type sometimes, but it's all that live chess match. But in theory, when you have Brian Robinson as he is here to barrel your butt over, period, end of story, and Ekeler can do a little bit of everything, then everybody's in their allotted role. Ekeler doesn't get enough credit for how good he is in terms of short yardage, in terms of wiggling forward, in terms of taking on contact. He's not getting trucked and blown back. I mean, he's always finishing 4-2. I mean, you look at the nose for the goal line. He's one of the best touchdown scoring backs in recent league history simply because of how good he is at that. The body control, the lean, low center of gravity, etc. But you take him out of his pass catching, pass pro dynamic role and put him in the thumper role, everyone gets a little bit worse.
I just now got a notification from Twitter that my poll from yesterday just hit 24 hours, so I guess it closes, and that the results are now back in, mm-hmm. So we have our definitive answer.
Results are in.
Remember yesterday we polled, did you find Washington's loss to the Steelers to be encouraging or discouraging? 57% of people were encouraged, and 43% were discouraged, which is actually pretty close.
Yeah.
Tells you that a lot of people have already recalibrated to the present to say, this is a good team. We need to start thinking about them trying to win something meaningful this year. And then a lot of people are still in the house money season where they go, hey, I'm not so sure. They played hard. They almost beat the Steelers. They're 7-3. They're surpassing all expectations. They've got their quarterback of the future. Everybody seems to want to play for this head coach who's going to be around and might be the answer here for a long time. I can't get that upset about the loss. That's something worth talking about in the 5 o'clock hour. Like, how should we be viewing the rest of this season now? Through what lens should we look at their progress? Next, our double play, what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports. I've got news on one of my favorite actors that I'm going to pass along.
A must-see show. A must-see show.
For me or for you?
Everybody.
Really?
Everybody.
I'll like it?
I don't know.
Oh, boy. This is the fan.
Yellowstone. Yellowstone. Yellowstone, my friend. It is back. It is back. So, they're doing part two of season five. I know this kind of thing drives you crazy, and I understand that. There was a long hiatus so Kevin Costner could make movies that nobody saw. I'm not trying to be a jerk. That's what happened. He was so intent on making this Western saga, this three-part thing that just failed out of theaters, and now no one knows, and there was a dispute over whether he's coming back or not. They couldn't make the scheduling work. He's mad at Taylor Sheridan, the creator of Yellowstone. He's mad at the Paramount people. They're mad at him. No one's happy. So you got to deal with a pretty big puzzle piece. Kevin Costner's not coming back for the last part of the show.
Costner's not going to be in this?
He's not back. So what everybody was...
And he was not gone at the end of the last episode.
That's right. So what everybody was hoping is they'll have enough canned footage, or they'll have something they can cobble together, or they're going to have a storyline that makes sense. I will not spoil what happened for folks, because I know people are still catching up and watching it. It aired Sunday night during Sunday Night Foosball. It's the Yellowstone universe. It's still Yellowstone. It still rules, but people are not thrilled, is what I'm going to say.
Oh, people are down.
People are mad.
I thought everyone is really jacked up that it's back and is giddy and thinks it's the greatest show ever.
So it is, and it's the best show on television right now, and it's not close. Now, part of that is the landscape of television ain't as awesome as it was. The other part is, you know, all the subscription services are just coming out with unbelievable content every day. So in terms of television, it was AMC for a long time with Mad Men and shows like that, or Breaking Bad, etc. It's now Yellowstone's turn to take the mantle. The show is incredible. I say again, it is incredible. Everybody should be watching it. Everybody should rip through the episodes of previous seasons. It's unlike anything else that's ever been done on television. It's fantastic. It's amazing. It's incredible. It's a little bit over the top at times, because it's like, not every time there's a death-defying thing. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes it's just you have a day. Sometimes, like, you get up and go to work and come home and everything's okay. But it's a show, so you understand that they always have to have some kind of critical danger. But this is one of the toughest things to navigate I can remember, and nobody seems to be happy with how they handled episode one.
So I did watch a few episodes of this. You told me it was really good, and I knew all along this is something I would love. I can tell you, having watched a few episodes, it's made for me.
It's wheelhouse, dude.
This is my kind of show. I would love it. I watched, I think, 3, maybe 4. This has been several months.
Mm-hmm.
Fell off the wagon, haven't gotten back on. I am way too far behind, I feel.
Classic
like.
Paulson, by the way.
I'm just, how many seasons in are we? 5?
There's 5 seasons.
How many eps? How many EpiPens?
Season 1, I want to say they had 9 episodes.
So we're looking at 45 eps-ish.
Total, yeah, somewhere
and
in there.
And they're 1 hour, I think.
Yes.
It's a lot. I mean, I don't think I could catch up.
I mean, you definitely could. I mean, you can't, because you won't do it. But one could do that pretty easily. You'll watch it and you'll go, I just now, like, you're thinking about, should I buy cowboy gear? Like, should I get a horse? Like, should I be moving to Montana?
It's a great show.
It's the greatest advertisement for that part of the country in the history of humankind.
Monday night I can't do. Thursday night, I can't do.
I got you.
Sunday night, I can't do. We are now down to Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, and Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Caps games in there, too.
Sure there are. Yes.
There's just not enough time in the day. I'm going to watch 1 or 2 episodes a week. It's going to take me months.
Now, the thing is, you've ripped off several much smaller shows that add up to more episodes than there are of Yellowstone. In other words, you go, there's an 8-episode whodunit. There's a 9-episode whodunit. There's this other little documentary about someone that I don't know who did it. You just did 3 seasons of Yellowstone. See what I'm saying? You're fitting in shows. The problem is you won't fit in the shows that I tell you to fit in.
Well, most of the shows you're referencing were before football season. It is.
That is fair.
Very hard for me.
That is fair.
Every minute of any standalone football game.
I get it.
2 thumbs here. This guy's watching
the
game.
You're pointing yourself?
So that there's just never going to be a time where I'm watching a program over the National Football League. Roger Goodell loves me. There's just never going to be a time where I'm doing that.
I get that.
So I think it's going to have to wait till after the football season, and I'll give you a solid maybe on this.
That is nothing short of a commitment from you, I'm sure. I'm the most sure about that.
I want to watch it.
You don't need to hear from me anymore.
Everything that I want.
If you're out there and you have gone and you're going, I'm on the fence about Yellowstone. Get off the fence immediately.
Yeah.
And just sit back and consume it. It's perfect. It's so unbelievably good. I've run out of words. It's like waves crashing on the shore of hyperbole about how it may be the best this or the best that. The writing is incredible. The acting is sterling. The plot lines are, again, a little bit over the top, but like again, it's a show. It's a dramatic.
Is Donald Sterling.
100%.
No, I'm kidding. It is. It's so good.
It is. No, Sterling Draper Kramer.
I don't think you're hearing me. I think what I saw was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I loved
it. It's breathtaking. Like the establishing shots where it's like that like 1,000-foot view of the city. And it's like
I was hooked.
It's now, but of this the most beautiful, serene country in human history.
There's a multiverse out there somewhere where my kids and wife go away for like 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any jobs and I don't have to put on pants. And I would just...
And it's just 40 hours of Yellowstone.
Just knock it all out, and I would love it.
It's so good. They made prequel shows, and I was like, yep, I better understand them. I better watch them every second. Like, it's so good that Harrison Ford, one of the biggest movie stars ever, is like, yeah, I probably should do the prequel show. Like, it's so awesome that they got Han Solo / Indiana Jones to go, yeah, I should probably just do an 8-episode one-off about how awesome I am.
It's time for my double play. I got terrible news, everybody. Denzel Washington announced today that he will be retiring from acting after his final 6 projects. I believe he's got 5 films and 1 other project that he has either in the can, he's working on, or he has already signed on for. Spike Lee's High and Low. Antoine Fuqua's Hannibal. That's the guy he did all of the... what's the show Queen Latifah's in that is an Equalizer.
Equalizer.
Equalizer, which is so good, by the way. I've actually tweeted the director, Antoine Fuqua, about that. Like, every time I come out of the movie theater, I just tweet him about how awesome those are and how awesome he is and come on my radio show, and he's never responded.
He hasn't responded?
No,
that's
weirdly.
Weird.
Black Panther 3, Othello adaptation, those are the things he signed on for, but Denzel is saying when he's done with the projects he's currently already put pen to paper with, he will be retiring, which I'm crestfallen. You know, who's my one seed? Who's my guy?
I think it's Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington. Not only my favorite actor, but if I could have dinner with any celebrity, any person on the planet outside of, like, you know, family members or something, I think I would choose Denzel Washington as my answer as to who I would want to spend a great American restaurant meal with, breaking bread, just talking shop. Love Denzel. I thought he would be like, a Morgan Freeman or a Michael Caine or something, where you're just acting until you're like 87.
But then like gradually change with the roles too, you know, like take on older mentorship roles instead of like the action star role, or instead of the, you know, the fast talking cop that, you know, has a heart of gold, but you know, is rough around the edges. You thought he would sort of move to that. That's actually kind of nuts to me.
1954 he was born. He's 3 years younger than my father. So it's not like he can't keep acting if he doesn't want to.
He can do whatever he wants.
That's a bummer.
Once he hit his stride of stop trying to pretend in certain ways, and like he's crossed over, like when I'm trying to be clear about this. Like when Ben Affleck's in a role, usually I'm going, yeah, that's Ben Affleck acting. Whereas like when Christian Bale takes on a role, he transforms completely into the person. Or Daniel Day-Lewis is like, you don't think about him. Denzel has broken through that Affleck thing where I'm going, that's Denzel the whole time and I don't even care. He's so cool and he's so good that I want him to be the same.
Yeah,
in everything.
He's also got great chops. Like he can do the Fences thing. He can be Book of Eli. He can do Training Day. There, you know, he was Herman Boone, Remember the Titans. And yeah, he's not an actor where you don't think it's Denzel most of the time. But I think there have been projects where he did that.
Oh, but he's really good. I don't know how to describe that, but it's like, it feels like it's him taking it on. Yeah, he's so good.
So hopefully he changes his mind and we get like 20 more Denzel movies, because that would be really awful if that was the end of the road for him coming up here after these next few films. But he's got one coming out that I cannot wait to come about a week from now.
Gladiator the Deuce?
Gladiator 2. Let's do this thing together. I'll be there on opening night with some popcorn. Beltway Blitz time next on Grant and Danny.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.